Thank you, Joshua, and thank you, David, for changing with me. I was supposed to speak in the last Sunday of the month, and David today, but we interchanged, and David will be speaking on the last Sunday of the month at the Family Hour service. I'd like to welcome a number of visitors with us today. Daniel's with us, and also would like to welcome the family of Leo from Holland. We're glad that you're with us today, and glad, thank you, everyone, for coming out. You know, in the middle of August and the middle of the summer, the numbers do deteriorate just a little bit. I remember Scott Lee and St. Catherine's, if I may refer back to one of my former chapel, that there the first Sunday in August was always the worst attended Sunday in the year. I remember one year in this August when they had an evening meeting, I think there were six of us there. They're all gone on vacation and camps and so forth. And so we're glad that you've come today to join with us here. Now, way back many years ago in Northern Ireland, when I was a teenager, we had evangelistic meetings every Saturday night in the local town hall. We used to sing that hymn we sang this morning, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought." But we changed the words of it. Said, "What a wonderful change in lives have been wrought since Jesus came into our town. Many lives have been changed, many homes rearranged since Jesus came into our town." Really meant that kind of a theme, and they sang it every Saturday night in the local town hall as the gospel was preached. Let's turn this morning just to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, for a Bible reading. It's somewhat related to what we're going to speak on today. We're not going to spend time, as it were, elaborating on the contents of this passage, but we're going to use a phrase from it later on. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and verse number 36. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak.' A second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.' And he came and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. And so he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" We know the Lord will bless the words we've read this morning from his word, and so let's pray together again. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning that we've had an opportunity to meet with you even through the Lord's Supper. As we remember, our Lord, once again, we thank you for thy presence with us. We thank you, our God, also for this time when not only we can pray, but also we can hear thy word. Thy word which will last forever and ever and will never be destroyed. And Father, as we look into it this morning, we simply ask that the Spirit of God might be our teacher, that he might be the one who will open the scriptures to us. He might be the one who will reveal yourself to us. He might be the one who will come and convict of sin, of righteousness, and even of judgment this morning, that some may come to him. So, Lord, we thank you once again for thy word and for thank you for your beloved Son today. Help us glorify him in all we say and do, because we ask it in his name alone. Amen. Just a few weeks ago, I was on Zoom at another chapel on a Sunday evening, and the speaker was referring, among other things, to a number of series of messages that had been given at the chapel there. And he's talked about a series of the Book of Numbers someone had covered. Someone had covered a series called Encounters with Christ, as different men spoke of their testimony. And so went on and on and on. And it reminded me of a statement I'd heard some time ago. It said, there's no one way to study the Bible. There are many ways in which we can go and study the Bible. And so I went into the internet, as I commonly do when things like this come up, and I do a little search. And I put a search in for methods of Bible study. And many were given. Many, numerous, actually. We would take a long time to explain them today. But just to think of a few, we think of the five W's. Why, where, what, when, and who. We think of the book study, when we'll take a book in the Bible and we'll study it together, or even a chapter or a verse. And we'll think of a topic that we take. We can think also of biographical studies, thematic studies. But then we think of the word or the phrase studies. Remember when I was in Bible college, our Hebrew professor, she would take the chapel services some Sunday, some in the morning. We had a chapel service every morning. And her favorite topic was she would take one word, but she would take it in Hebrew. And she would explain the meaning to us in that little chapel service. Just one word and the things that she got out of it. And you're looking back over my life, I think perhaps more than once I have used that particular method in my speaking. Taking a word in the scriptures or a phrase, and then go back to find just what it means and where it's found in the Word of God. And just for a few minutes this morning, that's what I'd like to do, a simple word or phrase study with you. It all started a few weeks ago when I was reading from 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. And there we read, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." The word that caught my attention that morning was the word passing. And as I was thinking and read that verse, somehow it came to me and said, that would probably make a good word study. Just to go back to the Bible, go back to a concordance and look through it and find exactly where the word is found. And so we find the word past, the word passing and the word past is the first word followed by a second word in many situations in the Word of God. And using Esort, I began to check the word and discovered that the word past is found 804 times in the Bible. And we're not going to look at all 804 today. The word pass by or passed is found 161 times, and the word passing is found 13 times in the Word of God. But as you would look at those, you would find perhaps a very, very distinct message in the Bible. The meaning of the word pass is simply, it's a motion word. I passed him on the stairs this morning. You should only pass a slow or fecal if it's safe to do so. If you pass a supermarket, you will get me some milk. I was just passing by, so I dropped in. Just some English examples, however the word is used. George is not here this morning, but I already told him the story. A couple of weeks ago, George went to the information session for his driving license. And it had been delayed because of the pandemic and so forth. And actually, his license had expired, but he was given a temporary one. And so he came to St. Thomas, he went in and he did his little test. And afterwards, Linda texted Gil and she said, he passed his information session. And so we said, well, we should congratulate him. And so we did. And so Gil wrote back and she texted Linda. She said, congratulations to George. No doubt you'll be celebrating his passing. And that's another word of the way it's used in the Word of, in the Word of God, actually, and we'll come to that in moments. And so we said, well, we're celebrating the passing of the test, not that he had passed. George is still alive, so he is. And so we find this. But that's the end of the English lesson. In the Word of God, we find that the word accompanied by another word, and I don't know what the English term for this is found at least seven times. Pass upon, pass from, pass by, pass through, pass into, pass over, and pass away. I said it's not our intention to look all after 970 times the word is used in the Bible. But, you know, using the seven phrases, and I'll call them phrases today, I came up with a little story, and I'd like to read it to you. It's called The Story of Redemption. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And those who passed by blasphemed Jesus, wagging their heads and saying, Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their gods, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The story of redemption. Death passed upon all men because of sin. But those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have passed from death unto life. All because of the cross of Calvary, where as people passed by, they reviled the Savior. And we were asked that question, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? As we live our Christian lives, we have that promise that God said, Fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. All because we what? We have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens for each of us. But then on the way back, away to St. Catherine's last week, I passed a sign that said, Judgment Day is near. Because true it is that there's a day of judgment that is coming upon this world. And even though the words we read from Exodus refer to the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, the promise is that on that day of judgment which is to come, God says, When I see the blood, I will pass over you, those of us who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And then, of course, the great ending is that the old heaven and the earth will pass away, and the new earth and heaven will become. The first has passed away, but then it says, And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Pass upon, pass from, pass by, pass through, pass into, pass over, and pass away. But the one phrase I'd like just to spend the rest of the time on this morning is the last thing that we said together, the word pass away. What does it mean to pass away? Simply it means it ceased to exist. And we find a number of things that will cease to exist we'd like to bring to your attention today, and the first is human life. You know, sometimes we look around us and we find people living to an old age and some people live to a short age. But the Bible speaks clearly this human life that you and I enjoy will one day pass away. Psalm 19, verse 9 says, For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength there are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Job found this again. He said, in a moment they die. In the middle of the night, the people are shaken and pass away. The mighty are taken away without a hand. Or James says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. You know, I used to hear people say that when someone passed away or died. And I said to myself, well, why could they simply not say that the person died? Because at that time, well, I didn't know that pass away was a legitimate word for death. And yet we find in Psalm 90 and Job 434 and James 1, in the Bible, the term pass away is used for the ceasing of human life. But we must remind ourselves that we are not here for eternity. Our souls are eternal and they will live forever. But our human bodies and our human life here upon this earth, one day it will pass away. For some, it's a long life they have. I'm sure you've often heard people say when somebody passes away, maybe around 94, 95, they had a good life. And then we read lift of the obituaries in the newspaper or watch them on television, and we find a child passes away or dies. There's no guarantee how long you and I will live upon this earth. But the important thing is, are we ready for eternity? Human life will pass away. But then the next thing we find in 1 John 15 and 17, that human lusts will pass away, or human desires. Human desires, both good and bad, things that we enjoy in life, maybe relationships, other things like that, things that we do in our everyday lives we enjoy, or sometimes also those that we don't enjoy, desires that we have in life. But in 1 John 15 and 17 it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so we find human life will pass away. Human lust will pass away, or human desires that sometimes we enjoy and things like that and things that we do. But then as we move on quickly, we find that human lands will pass away. Mark 13 and 31 says, heaven and earth will pass away. 2 Peter 3 and 10, but the way of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Or Revelation 21, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also there was no more sea. Human life will pass away. Human lusts will pass away. But human lands, this universe as we know it now, will one day be burned up and will be no more. And the question is, where will we spend eternity? But then the last thing we find of things that will pass away is that human lots, the lot that you have in life, the lot that I have in life, some of it is good and some of it is bad, but it's going to pass away. George and Linda have suffered greatly, perhaps, over the last year or so, as we know. Different things have happened to them. But there's others, all the families in our assembly, and you have suffered great things throughout the pandemic, which is now hopefully passed, and things like that. But even your lot in life, compared to some people, you might say, it's not that good. But you know, it's going to pass away too. Think of the hymn writer who says, what will it be to dwell alive and with the Lord of glory or him? Because in Revelation 20 and 4 it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Hymn says, what will it be to dwell above and with the Lord of glory reign? Since the blessed knowledge of his love so brightens all this dreary plain. No heart can think, no tongue can tell, what joy it will be with Christ to dwell. When the sin no more obstructs the sight, and flesh and sin deceive no more, when we shall see the Prince of Light and all his works of grace explore. What heights and depths of love divine will there through endless ages shine. And God has fixed a happy day when the last tear shall dim our eyes, when he will wipe those tears away and fill our hearts with glad surprise, to hear his voice and see his face and know the fullness of his grace. Pass away. Human life will pass away. Human lust will pass away. Human lands will pass away. And even human loss that we have in life will pass away for those of us who are believers. And that better day is coming when we will be with the Lord forevermore. But what about things that will not pass away? Anything around us, we think of it. First of all, to pass away means to cease to exist. But to not pass away simply means they will continue to exist. And yes, there are. We find in the Word of God things that are and will not pass away. The Word of God will not pass away. This book that we have here, well, no matter what the translation of it is, this book will never, never pass away. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never or will by no means pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1, read it, having been born again, not of corruptible seed but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of the man is in the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall away, but the word of God endures forever, and forever, and forever, and we could go on. August is perhaps it's a difficult month in the gardens, isn't it? You know, in the springtime, we plant our flowers, we plant our vegetables and so forth, and we find things sprout up, and, you know, we drive up Highbury Avenue, we watch the corn grow in the fields throughout the spring and early summer months. The month of July, things come to, as it were, they come all in bloom, and then in August, things began to disappear. Things began to die a little bit. Especially like me, I'm not a gardener, and we have flower pots, and they're just not doing well this year. July they were doing well, but now they're beginning to decay. That's what the Bible says. It says the grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And we must take note of that. There are those things which will pass away, but the word of God, God has given us a word in which he has revealed himself to us. He's revealed that we are sinners. He's revealed that we need salvation. He's revealed that his love for us is so great that he sent his son to die upon the cross of Calvary. But remember, in Revelation 20 and 20:12, I find, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works and by the things which were written in the books. There's that day coming when the dead will stand before God, stand before the great white throne, and it says the books will be opened. And many commentators believe that one of the books to be opened that day will be this book here. Why? Because Jesus said, didn't he? He said in John 12 and 48, he said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Yes, the word of God, it will last forever and forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word, and God's word will be used to judge each one of us. And if our names are not written in the book of life, the other book which will be opened on that day, we will be cast into eternity and to a place called hell itself, and we will be cast there for eternity. And so the word of God, someone has said, after describing difficult to understand events of the future, Jesus is reassuring his followers that his words are absolutely reliable and cannot be thwarted in any way. We should never attempt to dismiss the words of Christ by saying, yes, but that was way back then. What Jesus said would happen, did happen, and will happen. The word of God will last forever. And that word will be used to judge you and me as to whether or not we've accepted not only his word, but the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then we find also the will of God will last forever. That passage we read in Matthew 26, we find a word like this in one of the verses in verse 42. Jesus has gone to the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. In verse 42 it says, again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. The will of God will not pass away. Jesus said, if this cup will not pass away, and it didn't pass away, because he left the garden and he went all the way to Calvary. And there he took upon himself the wrath of God, which is God's will for you and me, that one would come and would die in our place, even to be our Savior. And so in Revelation 1 and 8 we find, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. Or in Hebrews 7 says, but he, because he continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And of course, that brings us to the fact that he himself will live forever and ever in heaven, and so shall we who are believers today. The word of God shall never cease to exist. The will of God shall never cease to exist. The will, as it were, for God's Son to come and die, but his will in everything. He is sovereign in all things, and his will never, never pass away. And then the third thing we find is that the world of God. I've used three W's here. The word of God, the will of God, and the world of God, or his kingdom, will never pass away. Going back to the book of Daniel, then to him was given dominion and glory in the kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. He shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which will not be destroyed. His word will never pass away. His will never pass away, and his world, his kingdom. He shall have dominion, and he shall be King of kings and Lord of lords, and that kingdom will last forever and forever. Pass away or cease to exist, human life, human lusts, or human lot. Not passing away, continue to exist, the word of God, the will of God, and the world of God. But as we come to the end of the message today, there's just two other passages I'd like to refer to where we find the word passing. One is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. And so they told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stood by and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want to do for me? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God and all the people when they saw it, give praise to God. The blind man was sitting by the wayside. He heard the noise and he said, What is it? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Many commentators believe this was the last time that Jesus passed by the town of Nazareth. Jesus is passing by today. He's passing by Faith Bible Chapel here in London. And he's telling people, I'm passing by, and this may well be the last time he passes by this chapel. We don't know. And he says to you, he said, What have you done with me? Are you a Christian today? Have you been saved? Are you ready for eternity? Because one day this world is going to pass away along with his lusts and lot. Are you ready for eternity today? I'm passing by and I'm on the way, he said. There he was on the way to the cross. But he said, I've gone to the cross. And I've died for you. And I've died for me. And so he wants to know what you're going to do today. And so basically, as he's passing by, he's inviting you to come today. Come by simple faith to a place called Calvary. There's a way back to sin from the dark paths of sin. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. But then I know a good number of us there, if not all of us, are believers here. What's the word today for us? We find in that first word, Jesus was passing by, and I was reminded of Fanny Crosby's hymn. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Is there a heart that has wandered, come with thy burden today? Mercy is tenderly pleading, Jesus is passing this way. Is there a heart that is broken, weary and sighing for rest? Come to the arms of the Savior, pillow thy head on his breast. Come to thy only Redeemer, come to his infinite love. Come to the gate that is leading homeward to heaven above. Jesus is passing this way today. Jesus is passing this way, is passing this way today. And so he says, come to me. I'm your only Redeemer. Come through my infinite love. Come to that gate that leads homeward to heaven above. But what of us who are believers? Is there a word for us today? I think it's found in the words of Robert Murray McShane. He was a great preacher in Scotland. He only lived for 29 years, but he wrote many hymns, he preached many sermons in that short time. But this one hymn he wrote, it said, when this passing world is done, when is sunk yon glaring sun, when we stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe. When I stand before thy throne, dressed in beauty not mine own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe. Passing away, human life, human lust, human lot, not passing away, the word of God, the will of God, and the word of God. Today, Jesus is passing this way. He's inviting you, if you have never really come, to come today and accept him as your Savior. But for those of us who are, we look forward to that day, a day when we will fully realize and fully know what it meant to God to send his Son into this world to die for us and his love for each one of us. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for even thy goodness and love in allowing us to be here today to hear your word. But more so we ask that the Spirit of God has spoken that there may be even one today who will come as you pass by and offer again, the offer of salvation through faith in your beloved Son. We pray, Lord, that even the Spirit of God would move in our midst today and one would come to receive Christ. Father, just bless us now, we pray, as we have closing hymn and Jesus comes and then returns. Thanks for the food in Jesus' precious name. Amen.